You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I'm exhausted. Welcome to the program. And I got a football game tonight, the national title game. Hope you had a great weekend. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll recap everything. Get you ready for Alabama and Ohio State tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern kickoff on the Mothership. As we always do every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. You can be part of the program. You can email. You can dial us up. You can tweet. Do all the above. We say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock. You can download the app and watch for free all 3 hours. There is no man cave like this man cave. You can also see what the Danettes actually look like. You can hear their voices, and you can wonder, I wonder what they look like. And now you have that opportunity. We also say good morning to our great radio affiliates around the country. Doesn't it seem like that game with Buffalo and the Colts was 2 weeks ago? It was the first game on Saturday, and I kept thinking back this morning, like, wow, that was such a long time ago. And then you had the game last night where it starts out and it's 28-0, and I go, I don't know if there's anything else to see here other than let me see what Ben Roethlisberger does. Is this the last game of Ben Roethlisberger's career? This is a team that went 1-5 down the stretch. I thought if Kevin Stefanski, their head coach, was on the sidelines last night, they were going to win this game. Now, they didn't need him, but they were prepped. And I go back to what Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership said last week. He said Stefanski plans out, scripts out the first 15 plays. And he said they need to jump out on top early. If they do, then they can win this game. If they don't, then they won't win this game. Well, you jump out 28-0, you're going to win. And now you look at this team and you say, how good is Cleveland? Because the Browns have had a lot of bad history with the Steelers. And last night it seemed like they were trying to make up for all of that in just one game. And did a pretty good job. They jumped out to a 28-0 lead first quarter and they never looked back. And you have to think about it. And I have a lot of relatives who are Browns fans and heard from a lot of them last night. Early and often, they were exercising all those demons. The Steelers were 35-7-1 against the Browns since the Browns came back to Cleveland in 1999. They had lost only once in Pittsburgh. That was back in 2003. The Steelers have Lombardi trophies. The Browns have heartbreak. They lead the league in heartbreak. The Browns didn't have their head coach. He's at home with COVID. But they look like they were the blue blood franchise. Poised, confident, swagger. I'll go back to a theme that I keep reminding you of the last couple of weeks. It feels like Cleveland knows who they are. And as strange as that may sound, you can see some of these teams in the playoffs, certainly in the regular season. I don't know if Pittsburgh knew who they were the last 2 months of the season. Certain teams find their identity. I don't know if New Orleans knows who they are, but they looked pretty good against the Chicago Bears, or at least good enough. I think Tampa is sort of finding itself. You watch for these teams at the end of the year, the last two or three games, and then I do wonder, Pittsburgh rested their starters in that final regular season game against Cleveland, and it looked like they were rusty when they all came back out onto the field. I don't know if Cleveland is a serious threat to come out of the AFC, but I said a couple of weeks ago that they have a team, they have a style, they have talent that travels, and that means they can play defense and they can run the football. If Baker Mayfield doesn't make mistakes, force things, try to act like Brett Favre, then this is a team that will keep it close with Kansas City, in my opinion. And Kansas City has allowed teams to stay in games. Now, you can say they do. They sort of toy with you, but then they win these games, which is true. But as I've pointed out before, at some point you think you can let a team sort of hang around, and then all of a sudden you realize you're in trouble. But Kansas City against the Cleveland Browns, as much as we look at that and say Kansas City should win that, keep factoring in the lack of a home field advantage. I truly believe if Pittsburgh had a packed house last night, that doesn't happen that you're down 28-0. It doesn't mean they're winning the game. Seattle, packed house. Are they losing that game to the Rams? Maybe they still do. I thought the Rams were the better team. But this lack of home field advantage is going to help somebody that you probably wouldn't expect it would help, or it might hurt a team that relies on that, that energy. And it is something that is tangible. When you talk to players, when you go to certain places like New Orleans, like Kansas City, like Seattle, like Pittsburgh, like Green Bay, you have that home field advantage and you rely on it. That is your 12th man, is what Seattle has. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. We'll come up with a poll question, play of the day, some interesting stats of the day as well. So Bills over the Colts, Rams beat the Seahawks, Bucks over Washington, Ravens over the Titans, Saints over the Bears, and Browns over the Steelers. And tonight, Ohio State versus Alabama in the national title game. Chris Sims on loan from Pro Football Talk will join us coming up in a little bit here. Have we seen the last of Ben Roethlisberger? Here's Baker Mayfield talking about nobody gave the Browns a chance to beat the Steelers.
It wasn't about that specifically. Yeah, it's the same quote, but we believe in the people in this room no matter what's going on. As soon as the COVID news came out that we were missing some key guys, obviously starting with our head coach, we knew that everybody was counting us out, and we knew what mentality we were going to have, and it's just to cut it loose and go out there and give it everything we had. But there was no added pressure. There was no extra anything. It was just for us to go out and do our job because no one believed in us besides us.
Yeah, as long as they keep this identity, don't get overly confident, don't change who you are, go into Kansas City and be businesslike, knowing this is who we are, this is what we do, and then you take your chances. You don't need to do anything crazy here. You have the talent to keep this close, and you have the talent to win this game. But if Kansas City all of a sudden says, you know what, let's see who these Browns are. Let's let Baker try to win this game. We've seen that before, that it doesn't end well. But if Cleveland stays with the game plan that they've had the last couple of weeks, Cleveland can win this game. As strange as that's going to sound, you know, Tampa's got the Saints again. And as much as we think you can't beat somebody three times in a row, I think the numbers are around 67, 68% of the time, the team that won the first two is going to win the third. And it's back in New Orleans. You know, how good are the Bills? The Bills against the Ravens. I give credit to the Colts. You know, I thought the Colts were the better team for most of that game. But a couple of questionable decisions by Frank Reich came back to haunt him. Back to questionable decisions. Mike Tomlin, you're down 12. Fourth quarter, fourth and one. If not now, then when are you going to go for this? First play, fourth quarter, fourth and one. You got some momentum. You're down 12. Here's Ben Roethlisberger after the game.
Talk with my family, discussions, decisions, and you know, I still have a year left on my contract. I hope the Steelers want me back if that's the way we go, and there'll be a lot of discussions, but now's not the time for that.
Yeah, I know Ben wants to come back. It's the right thing to say, but if you're Pittsburgh, this is where you have that conversation with him, and is it best for both parties? Ben came back. Threw four touchdowns, threw four interceptions, threw 500 yards. But this is a team that I don't know if they knew who they were on offense. After, you know, they start out, what, 11-0? Then they went 1-5. I mean, they forgot who they were. Or at least they weren't comfortable with who they were. Ed Bouchette, who's covered the Steelers since 1985, he'll join us coming up next hour. Brady Quinn, Fox Sports, former Cleveland Browns quarterback. He is going to join us to get us ready for the national title game. This program brought to you by Built Bar. I said to Seton this morning, can you let Built Bar know that I need some Built Bars? Like, the product is so good, I can't keep it in the studio here because now it's free-for-all every time I open up a box of Built Bar here. There's 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, pumpkin chocolate chip cookies, and these are protein bars. BuiltBar.com, promo code DP for 20% off. McLovin, what do you have for me today?
Okay, we got two debates over here. First off, which fan base should be most upset today? Most disappointed?
Ooh, okay.
Seattle, obviously. Pittsburgh, obviously. I don't think Washington falls into that.
No, Washington should be very proud of what they did. Given everything that happened, You know, they had no Alex Smith. Tyler Heinicke played extremely well. I thought that they held their own with Tampa Bay. They didn't get embarrassed against Tampa Bay. You had Ron Rivera battling cancer. Alex Smith coming back. They got rid of Dwayne Haskins. They survived all the nonsense off the field with their owner. And I would feel pretty good going into next season. They may not have their starting quarterback, but they got a really good defensive line. They got some skill position players. And this might be one of those put in a good quarterback, maybe bordering on a very good quarterback. And you might see some magic there with Washington again next season.
Do the Bears belong on the most disappointed fan base?
No, I would be happy with what you accomplished. You went to the playoffs in two of the last 3 years. You know what? We say goodbye to Mitchell Trubisky, some nice parting gifts. And I think they did the best with what they had. The problem is where they got, you know, how they got there is not how you would want to design this, that you passed up on Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Mitchell Trubisky got you-ish to the playoffs. He won the Nickelodeon Award, so there's some solace in that. By the way, I enjoyed Nickelodeon. I enjoyed what Nickelodeon did. I had no issues turning away from Jim Nantz and Tony Romo and settling on Nickelodeon. That was a dreadfully boring game. And Nickelodeon, I thought they did a great job. I thought it was fun. It was different. I don't know if we get too much of a good thing or it's too much of a good thing. Nate Burleson was very enjoyable. But I thought they did a pretty good job with that. What else, McLovin?
By the way, one complaint. They had to slime Noah Eagle in the last moments of the game. So nobody, none of the announcers got slimed.
They threatened to, but they didn't. And yeah. Noah was doing the play-by-play, Ian Eagle's son, who does the Clippers games.
The disappointed fan base, we didn't talk about the two AFC South teams, the Colts and the Titans. Would they belong on the poll?
The Titans, I'd be disappointed. If I'm a Titans fan, we're at home, you're up 10-0, and you're not doing anything with Derrick Henry. You would contain Lamar Jackson. Yes, I would be disappointed. The Colts, I thought the Colts, I wouldn't have been surprised if the Colts won that game. And I can't put this at the feet of Phillip Rivers. I thought Phillip Rivers had a better season than I've been giving him credit for. They ran the football. The defense is pretty good there. At times I thought they were the better team, but they were on the road. Tennessee was at home. Tennessee and Pittsburgh, that's where you got to be pretty bummed out. If you're Pittsburgh, you got to be devastated because you got embarrassed, and you got embarrassed by the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, the other big poll question, I think we'll do a two for Tuesday today, is which quarterback is most likely to retire out of those Rivers you just mentioned, Big Ben, then Breeze and Brady as well?
Well, Brady's not. Brady's not retiring. I know that for a fact. Drew Brees, I'm trying to get information. I'm trying to get somebody to confirm what I found out yesterday. And he's got a big job with him at NBC. It's just waiting there for him. He's going to be a studio guy, and then he'll do some Notre Dame football, it looks like. But I got to get it confirmed of what I was told last night about Breeze if something happens in the next round or they get, you know, it's kind of, I don't think it's cut and dried as much as I feel like it probably should be. But Drew probably says, I can make all these throws. I mean, give me Michael Thomas back. Give me Kamara. You know, I can make these throws. I can be right there on par. And the fact he's going to go against Brady in this next round, if he beats Brady, he's probably thinking, well, Brady's coming back next year, and he's a couple of years older than me. I don't know if it's as cut and dried as everybody's making this out to be. Ben, I never want to tell somebody to retire. I never want to and wouldn't do this. Do I think Ben wants to come back? Do I think the Steelers want him back? I think that's the key. I think you have to act like you want him back because you can't say anything now. And Frank Reich has said he wants Phillip Rivers back. Well, what else is he going to say? No, I don't want him back. That's, you say the right thing publicly here, but if I'm Phillip Rivers, I still want to play another season. He completed 68% of his passes. It's a solid team. It's a really good offensive line. I got a running attack there. Ben would be the one. Ben probably, because I think he's gone through an awful lot. He's banged up, not healthy. I don't know if he'll ever be completely healthy. Breeze is probably going to go, if I beat Brady, why would I retire? Yeah, Paulie.
Can you imagine Phil Rivers at home with 23 kids next year going, what am I doing? They're out there throwing the ball around. They're in the playoffs. I'm at home with 27 kids.
Yeah. 23 and me has a whole different meaning to Philip Rivers than it does to most other people.
It's a new show.
Yeah, looking for their family tree. 23 and me, the Philip Rivers story with his kids. Yes, McClubbin.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you don't have Ben, then who? Like, that's the, if you don't have Rivers, then who?
Well, in Chicago, it's anything but Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah. But even that, is that Cam? Is that...
Okay, let's say the Jets take Justin Fields and you can get Sam Darnold. I keep coming back to Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold is somebody, if I'm Pittsburgh, or if something happened with Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, I don't know if Matt Ryan's going to be back. And look at the draft. I got 4 or 5 quarterbacks that are going to be drafted in the first round. And then you got Matthew Stafford in there. Like, there's a lot of movement there. Could Cam go to Washington? I just think this is, it's a game of musical chairs here in the offseason at that position. Yes, McLeod.
The cap hit on Ben, by the way, if he stays, is 40 or 41, and if he leaves, like 20, oh, man.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he's their starting quarterback next year. If I'm Pittsburgh, and I'm going to have that young defense again, they had all those injuries. And by the way, Juju Smith-Schuster, I've been critical of, but he played well yesterday. They targeted him 19 times yesterday. But he has to decide, do you want to be a star? Like, not a social influencer, but a star. Because you can be. Because Antonio Brown, and by the way, Antonio Brown is a big difference maker for Tampa. Now, had a touchdown yesterday. Chris Godwin, hang on some footballs. Man, oh man. But yeah, I think if Juju Smith-Schuster, if they're satisfied with James Conner, but that defense is really good. But I don't know about Ben as you move forward. It feels like that's a transitional period right now for him. Yes, McLovin.
They really can't run the ball anymore. That is weird. The broadcaster said, like, this is not the Steelers. We know they throw the ball 60 times a game.
I know. And I said at the time when they were undefeated or maybe had one loss, I said, you can't throw the ball 50 times if you're the Steelers and win games. And they proved that. Yeah, Paul.
I think I'd be really frustrated if I were a Seahawks fan, because the first half of the season, you look like you're going to the Super Bowl. Your offense looks unstoppable. They couldn't pass yesterday, which has never been their problem. They did run the ball a little bit. The defense was average. I mean, they had Jared Goff with one thumb, and they couldn't win. And they got manhandled. Even when Aaron Donald was out of the game, the Rams were kicking them around.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey, worth the trade.
Yeah.
Rams stole that, but good for them.
Yeah, if I'm Seattle, I wonder, has Seattle recovered from the Malcolm Butler interception in the Super Bowl? I mean, I really wonder if you're just like, hey, this is still haunting this franchise for some reason. And I thought that their defense was going to be better, but give credit to the Rams, because they made Russell Wilson look uncomfortable. And that doesn't happen very often, but they hit him 10 times. You saw Russell Wilson play in a way that I haven't seen him play very often in his career. And, the Rams went at him. You know, when Jamal Adams knocks Wolford out, Paulie goes, I wonder if they'll blame Jamal Adams for losing this game. And I went, why? And he goes, because now Goff comes in. What if Goff leads them to victory? Now, granted, Jared Goff didn't play great, but Jamal Adams knocks Wolford out, and then Goff comes in and sort of managed a game. Akers was great, but it was that defense. I never thought Seattle was threatening in that game. Yeah, Paulie.
I think you said this about a month ago or 3 weeks about Aaron Donald of the Rams. If you don't give him Defensive Player of the Year, you're picking someone else just to pick someone else.
Yes.
That's how good he is. It really is. It is kind of silly to not give it to him. You have to just say, well, he got his, so it's a new person.
Let's take a break. Phone calls are welcome. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll get to those. We got a play of the day, stat of the day as well. Chris Sims will join us. There's There's a whole lot of talk about Deshaun Watson. Texans can't get in touch with him. Then there's the report that he would accept a trade to Miami, and Tua would then go to the Texans. We'll talk to Chris Sims about all of this. And does he think that Ben is done? Philip Rivers, is he done? 21 after the hour. Glad you're part of the program. Dan and the Dan and Stan Patrick Show. All right, let me say a little bit more about Built Bar. There's a lot of things to say about Built Bar. You're going to love the flavors. It's one of those where you take a bite and you go, how can this be low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber? If you're looking to lose weight, you don't want to eat some cardboard. And there's no aftertaste. There's a lot of times when you eat something that's good for you, certainly like a protein bar, you go, yeah, like sawdust. That's not the case. It'd be nice if we had some Built Bars today because Todd.
Yeah. I should have brought some in from the house, I guess.
One a day is all that you're allowed.
That's the max.
Yes. You can't go, I have a suitcase, let me put it in, or briefcase.
So 1 an hour is not the way to go.
No.
That would be kind of unfair to the rest of the group.
You don't do five a day, just one a day.
I got to pace myself.
BuiltBar.com, promo code DP, get 20% off your first order. Promo code DP, 20% off at Built Bar. Why not eat something that's good for you, that's actually taste good? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. The Dunder Mifflin family has found a new home. The Office streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you know every quote or you're a newbie to Scranton, you can stream every episode again and again and again. Sign up at peacock.com and stream now. Got our play of the day coming up. And your phone calls as well, as we always do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. We make way for the popular co-host of Pro Football Talk Live on Peacock, Chris Sims, the former NFL quarterback who joins us on the program. Chris, thanks for joining us. Let me start with the quarterback we are most likely to not see next season. Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees.
Okay. The one we're most likely not to see. I think it's really up in the air for all three of them. I'll say I don't see Big Ben. I think Big Ben's going to try to give it one more year. All right. So I'm going to say that. And I think for what he's done for the Pittsburgh organization, if he says he wants to come back one more year, they'll probably let him. The Drew Brees, Philip Rivers one, you know, I think Philip Rivers is probably the guy I would say is the most likely we won't see again. Drew Brees, I think it's a little bit like Ben Roethlisberger. If he says he wants to come back, they're going to bring him back. But I do get a feel or a sense just by some of the comments Sean Payton made during the year that they'd like to move on a little bit. But I think Rivers would probably be the leader in the clubhouse on that one.
Who deserves the heat for the Steelers' loss last night?
Well, you know, overall, just the whole offensive unit, the approach, everything they did, you know, towards the end of the year. You know, I think I came on a few weeks ago. It's one thing to be predictable. It's one thing to be predictable within your predictability. I mean, okay, we're gonna throw the ball, and now you know we're gonna throw the ball.
Wait, are they add to that? So they're predictably predictable.
Right, that's a better way to say okay. It. See, me and English aren't always all that good, but that's the way to say it. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Me
but
talk
exactly,
pretty.
Yeah, me talk pretty. Right, me play football. Me blonde. Me not that smart. So, but that's like I think that's it though. When you talk about it, it's we know they're going to throw the ball. Okay, and then to compound it, we know they're going to throw the ball 5 yards down the field, you know, over the middle of the field, that area. And I think that's really the issue. I mean, come on, snap over the head, bad interception over the running back's head in a formation and a play set that they usually don't do, play action, one man route, you know, then they get into the next drive and it's a third and one. And they can't even run the ball for a yard if they really want to, because that's not what they are. So it's really overall just the offense in general. And, of course, Big Ben's a big part of that.
By the way, we're focusing on the teams that lost over the weekend right now. And then we'll talk about, you know, moving forward. So just
cool.
So you know.
Cool.
The Rams and the Seahawks, you know, I'm not surprised at what happened. I'm surprised at how it happened. It really felt like the Rams, that was the varsity, and Seattle was a junior varsity. How did that happen at home to Seattle?
Yeah, well, the Rams defense is special. That's the first thing. And the one thing I say when I really break down Rams-Seahawks matchups too, you got to remember, the Rams were built to beat the Seahawks. You know, when Sean McVay took over, Seahawks were king of the world. You know, so you're going to build your team to, wait, how are we going to win our division? And that was, you know, priority number one. So really on the field, player for player, they match up well with them. And then the defense for the Rams, you know, just what they do to the Seahawks. They got a front four that can contain Russell Wilson. They got a DK Metcalf eraser and Jalen Ramsey. And I think the big thing is just the focus on the Seahawks, like you're saying. They need another idea guy on the offensive side of the ball. I like Brian Schottenheimer, but it's like maybe like I would say with Greg Roman in Baltimore. It might be one of those things where you go, we need to bring a passing game coordinator in here to just infuse a few more ideas and things into our offense. Because as you see, it's very stale and teams really caught on to it the last 4 or 5 weeks of the year.
How should Washington fans feel today?
That their organization's going in the right direction. There's a lot to be excited about. I don't think Taylor Heinicke is going to be the future of the franchise, but either way, that was amazing with what the hell we saw the other night. I mean, right? I don't know. I just kept going, all right, here comes the blowout. What? He did, whoa, unbelievable. All right, here comes the blowout. And then he'd pull out another unbelievable football play. But between that defense, you know, some of the guys they got all over there, you know, even in the secondary, they got a good offensive line. They got a star receiver in Terry McLaurin. Antonio Gibson, who was playing hurt here at the end of the year, is a really damn good running back, Dan. They're a team I would say, like, they get this quarterback situation figured out, watch out for Washington in 2021.
What happened to the Titans?
The Titans ran into a healthy Baltimore Ravens defense. The first time they played, there was no Brandon Williams or Calais Campbell. They dominated the line of scrimmage, the Ravens' defensive line. Brandon Williams, Calais Campbell, Matt Judon, they kicked butt. And I think the rookie linebackers they have, and Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison too, you know, the fact that they got to see Tennessee earlier, I think helped them how to defend the run game and what to do properly there was really a big thing. And then those two corners in the back end, the fact that you can rely on them and go, wait, we got to stop Derrick Henry, and then we got to put you guys on an island versus A.J. Brown and Corey Davis. You know, that's a special defensive unit. And of course, you know, that offense for the Baltimore Ravens and their physicality. And Lamar, Dan, if they just throw it just enough like we saw yesterday with Hollywood Brown outside the numbers and just attack that part of the field to where defenses have to defend it, it's going to help their offense out big time. It's going to open up the running lanes and everything like that. I thought that was one of the underrated aspects of the game yesterday.
I guess I should mention the Bears to be professional.
Sure.
I guess the one question I have is, you know, what do you do with Mitchell Trubisky?
I feel like they're going to bring him back to a 1 or 2 year deal and go, okay, we're going to play the style of football we played here the last 5 or 6 weeks of the year, but now we're going to grow that as far as the Rolodex plays that can come off of attack. Stop trying to be the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. That's not going to happen in Chicago. That's not who you are. So, yeah, they got to go all in on this offensive approach. But I don't know. I'm one that I look at it and just go, the Bears are closer to the top than the bottom. And if they can guarantee me they're going to get some awesome slam dunk franchise quarterback, then okay, you make the move. But if we're going to go with like, oh, we're going to bring in Nick Foles in and maybe he can beat the guy, then don't waste your time. Go with Mitchell Trubisky. If Matthew Stafford's available, okay, then maybe you do think about that. But I would expect to see Trubisky back.
He's Chris Sims on loan from NBC Sports. If you were going to reseed right now, is anything changed in the NFC and AFC for you heading into the next round of the playoffs?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me see here as I just look at that. I don't know. I think this is what I would probably look at right now. I don't think anything's changed for me in the NFC. I think that I would probably say, yeah, I think I would go Green Bay, the Saints, the Bucks right there on the edge of those guys, and the Rams right there in a close one as well. But in the AFC, you know, Kansas City's the king, but that Bills, Baltimore, Ravens for number two seed or number two spot in the AFC hierarchy right now, I think that's very close. I think that's a scary matchup for Buffalo for this week. You know, we saw what that Colts offensive line did to that Bills defense. The Colts outplayed the Buffalo Bills. The Bills just had the best player on the field in Josh Allen, and that's why they overcame it. But I would be worried about that running tack and Lamar Jackson versus Buffalo this week.
We've talked about this before. I applaud Cleveland for finally understanding who they are. And I said if Stefanski was on the sidelines, I would have picked them to beat Pittsburgh. Well, as it turned out, they didn't need him on the sidelines. The identity that they have, can that identity beat Kansas City in Kansas City?
I think it can give them a tough time. I don't know if their defense is good enough to pull through against Kansas City. I do think that their offense could be good enough to where, you know, they can maybe do what we saw the Colts do to the Buffalo Bills the other day. Run the ball, keep their offense on the field, run out the clock, keep Mahomes next to the Gatorade bottles and everything like that. And you got a chance to make the game interesting, certainly. But I think it would worry me is more that Browns defense. And I know they're going to be healthy with some guys being back, but it's not a very good unit. And a week off with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, I think that could be scary.
What would you do with Deshaun Watson if you were the GM of the Texans?
Well, I would never give Deshaun Watson away for less than anything just absolutely jaw-dropping, unbelievable. I can't say no to that trade offer. Dan, the biggest, like, perplexing thing to me, Deshaun Watson, no doubt one of the five best quarterbacks in the game. You told him going into this process you were going to let him have a say or at least be in the conversation. And then we get to this moment, and the guy that he kind of vouched for, and Eric Bieniemy, you don't even interview him. I don't know what else to say to Houston other than that you're stupid. I don't know. You interview the guy just to say to your quarterback, who's the star of your team, hey, we interviewed the guy you talked about. Hey, it didn't work out, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you do that for just that element alone. And that's what I don't understand. And they're in a weird spot down there right now.
Would you trade him to Miami for Tua? And let's say you get a couple of first round draft picks.
It would have to be a lot of first round draft picks. It would be. And I don't know if I would do that right now. I don't know. I think because Tua, to me, this, it's still up in the air for what Tua is. You know, I'm not sold on Tua. Is definitely a franchise. Like, we got our guy for 10 years. I'm not sure about that yet. I don't mean disrespect to him. I'm rooting for him. But I think we all saw the same thing at the end of the year. It's a little concerning, and I'm not sure I'm ready to stamp it and just go, I like what I saw, and he's the guy for the future.
Thank you, Chris. As always, we appreciate your time. We love that you wrap up the weekend in your own style there. Thanks for joining us. Tell Florio we said hello.
I will. Say hi to the guys. Be good, Dan.
That's Chris Sims. He is one of the stars of Pro Football Talk Live on Peacock, 6 to 9, every Monday through Friday. By the way, Deshaun Watson finished the season with a passer rating of 112. The team went 4-12. That's the highest passer rating ever for a quarterback with a team with a sub-500 record.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
If you're the Jets, would you call the Texans? You got second pick of the draft? You got Sam Darnold? I don't know. If I'm the Jets, I'd make a phone call. But, you know, people have put out that, hey, you know, it's a long shot that Deshaun Watson's going to get traded. He has a no-trade clause. No, that's for him. If he wants out, then he waives his no-trade. It's not that he wants out and the Texans have the no-trade clause. Deshaun Watson owns that. Yes, McLovin.
But would Deshaun Watson waive it for the Jets? With their recent history?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying, yeah. If I'm the Jets, what do I do? If I'm the Dolphins, what do I do? Are the Dolphins a quarterback away from being a playoff team? Like that's the logic that I would have right now. We have an abundance of imagine if the Dolphins traded the third overall pick back to the Texans that they got from the Texans, and then you sent Tua, sent another first-round pick, and maybe a future first-round pick. I don't know. Like, these are the things that keep general managers up late at night. But I would certainly consider that. Your phone calls are coming up. We got our play of the day as well, including one of my favorite players in the play of the day, a player that I told you, he's good. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Ball one assist away from the triple-double. Feeds P.J. Washington. Goes up with a fadeaway. It is good. Cat it for P.J. Washington. And I believe that's the moment. That should be a triple-double. A triple-double for LaMelo Ball. He is the youngest player in NBA history to record a triple-double.
That's courtesy of WFNZ, Hornets Radio Network. My Hornets are now 5-5 on the season. Paulie, when LaMelo Ball's career is all said and done in the NBA, and if I'm not on this earth, just make sure that you speak on my behalf when he goes into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Would you like me to tape some type of hologram thing and you could be part of the presentation 17 years from now?
Yeah, I guess so.
We'll work on it.
I just don't know if his dad is going to allow me to have any kind of spotlight on me. You know, this isn't one of those where you can say nobody believed in me. Like Baker Mayfield Jr. III, if he was on today, I'd say I believed in you guys this year.
You're almost an official Ball at this point. you're Danny Ball.
Of all the Ball brothers, and then I'm the one that you never see. Isn't there Ozzy Osbourne? Didn't he have his son and his daughter, and then there's another daughter who wasn't involved in the reality show? Like, that would be me. I would be the other Ball brother that you never see.
You're Cooper Manning.
Yeah, you never see him. You know, there's Peyton, there's Eli, and then Cooper. But that is courtesy of the Hornets Radio Network with... He doesn't even start, by the way. Like, I got a little nervous that he doesn't start, but he, you know, he's played well here the last... He went scoreless in his first game. Oh, did I hear from my friends. Because I said, hey, LaMelo Ball can play. He had as many points in his debut as I did. And he's played pretty well. He's fun to watch. Play of the day brought to you by, well, Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Time is running out. You can go to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com by January 24th. And you can pick up the ultimate Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win. No purchase necessary. Just go there and sign up. Mercedes-Benz vans. All right, we have our poll question, right, McLevin?
Yeah, which fan base should be most disappointed? We have an early front runner. Pittsburgh fans are not happy.
Yeah, we'll check in with Ed Bouchette, who's been covering this team since 1985. It felt like the beginning of the end, or the end of the end, for the Pittsburgh Steelers as we know it. And that starts with Ben Roethlisberger, because they do have a young nucleus. And, you know, that defense, you know, they lost Dupree and Bush. You know, that's still a really good defense. T.J. Watt should finish runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year to Aaron Donald. And offensively, you have some skills. Claypool turned out to be very good. Juju Smith-Schuster stopped being a social influencer and just played football. Are you satisfied with your running game with, James Conner? Yeah, McLevin.
You know what hurt them? Their best receiver, Diontae Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like their Antonio Brown little slot guy. He just lost his confidence. So, you remember he had like four drops in that one game?
Yeah. You saw that over the weekend. These are playoff teams. There are a lot of drops. Chris Godwin, I think he dropped five. Yeah, Paul.
And Diontae Johnson, I think he was the guy the ball went off his hands in the first quarter with the first pick by the Browns.
Yeah, I think you're right. The Steelers this year averaged 84 yards rushing per game in the regular season, fourth lowest in franchise history. First time in their history that they made the playoffs while averaging less than 100 yards rushing per game. And I think as you move forward, I don't want to make Ben one-dimensional. If Ben comes back, I don't want him one-dimensional. You know, you're seeing the value of play action. That at least I have to think that I have to honor that. And with the Steelers, I don't think you had to honor it. I don't think you had to worry about it. James Conner or whoever was running was not going to hurt us. Now, if you were getting chunks, they were going to be 3 and 4 yards. No long, big breakout runs here. Joe in Ohio leads us off, best and worst of the weekend. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Dan. I only got one best, and I think we know what that's going to be. I've called in a few times the past 5-6 years, and it's always been negative Browns. I even called from Japan to complain about the Browns. But today is one of the best days of my sports life. I've never seen a Browns win. I mean, I was 2 years old, but that doesn't count. And to take down the evil empire of the Steelers who bullied me my whole life, and after the Juju comments,
was the first hour of the game last night the best hour of your life?
Yeah. I mean, I'm 28. I'm not married and don't have kids. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good.
Even if you had kids and you were married, that still might be the best.
I mean, I agree. It was my entire life. Like, 26 years ago? I was 2 years old, so I don't remember that. Well, and I'm from Youngstown, and they're all Steelers fans there, and I hate my friends, so it felt pretty good.
All right, well, call back next Monday, win or lose, Joe. Thanks, and congratulations there. John joining us from New Zealand. Good morning, John.
G'day, mate. My tits. Also, g'day to Marvin and Mario and Alan and all the good guys at the back. Dan, I've got a best and worst a belated gift for Paulie. But first of all, just wanted to say I realize it's tough times in the United States at the moment. It's not easy there. Just to let you know that people around the world, our hearts are for you, and we're praying for you guys that it goes well.
Thank you, John.
So my worst of the weekend, I think I've said it to you before, the first time I called in some years ago, is the tackling in the NFL. Gee, it's bad. To see these incredible athletes and their tackling technique is so poor. There was a guy who tried to take Lamar Jackson out just before he scored his touchdown, and he got hands on him 5 yards out, and he didn't drive through, he didn't take his legs into touch. He just tried to push him. But that's just one example of many. The best of the weekend, in fact, the best of the sort of holiday season, was showing my 15-year-old Hoosiers. And we'd been working through some classic movies that had been showing him, Godfather, Point Break, and other ones. And he was captivated by Hoosiers. And if it was possible for Dan Patrick to climb even higher in his estimation, when I said that you thought highly of this and the guys thought this was one of the best sports movies ever, the number of times he sat up from the couch because he like gripped the pillow, and it was great to see.
Thank you, John. Thanks for the phone call. Always great to hear from you. 1 hour in the books, 2 more to go. We'll check in with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where do they go from here? That's coming up. Close out the first hour with Discover. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. Pretty amazing, right? In fact, it's even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. Over 99% of all the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.